For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, and that's a prayer from the 25th Psalm. My guest again today is Robin Davis, mother of five, wife of a seminary professor, and a homeschooler. You told us yesterday, Robin, a little bit about how you began and why you began homeschooling. Your primary reason wasn't because the schools are so terrible, was it?
No, it wasn't, and our children have never been in the public schools, so our decision wasn't a reaction against something that they were getting. And in fact, Jack and I had both had public school educations and secular college experiences, so it wasn't so much a reaction, but more a positive decision of what we wanted to do for our children.
So what would you say, in a nutshell, is the primary reason for homeschooling in your case?
I would say that one of the main reasons is a desire to spend a quantity of quality time with our children.
A quantity of quality time. I like that.
And basically, I wanted to. It was a desire, and Jack was supportive of this decision. And what started out as a desire, I think, has grown into a conviction that this really is the best for our children. I'm not saying it's God's will for everybody, but that this is how God has led us.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that, because when I've had my daughter on who talks about homeschooling, we always get some letters saying, why do you think all Christians must homeschool their children? And I'm sure Valerie didn't say that, and you're not saying that either, but we just need to make sure our listeners understand that. It is an option which is certainly worth consideration, don't you think?
That's exactly how I would put it. And I certainly would not put it on a plane with the gospel. This is not another gospel. And that if you are a truly dedicated, sold-out Christian, you will homeschool your children. I don't believe that.
There's a really knotty question that has arisen in several situations where the people belong to a church that has its own Christian school. And they find that people are offended if they choose to homeschool. What would you say to that?
That's a situation I haven't had to deal with. I think so much depends on the demeanor of the parents. And if you can show a really respectful attitude toward other people and other people's decisions, that might go a long way toward diffusing problems. And I think also if you can maybe plug into that school in some way and affirm and support those parents' desire to give their children a Christian education. I think Christian day schools are a fine thing and should be supported and encouraged. And homeschooling is just not right or feasible for everybody.
Yes, I was talking to some people the other day whose church has an excellent school, but they said that some of the members of the church had tried homeschooling with really disastrous results. I guess they were people who just couldn't get it together as far as organizing and really carrying through with the discipline that's necessary. They put them in the church school. So we just want it to be perfectly clear to our listeners that there are a number of options, and I think homeschooling is a very interesting one, obviously very successful in many cases. And I've mentioned before the book by the Colfax family. I've forgotten. Do you know their first names?
I don't remember. The sons have...
All four of their sons went to Harvard, having been homeschooled through the 12th grade. It's an excellent book. It's called Homeschooling for Excellence. And I'll ask you later, Robin, if you have some other resources that you would recommend. But we were talking about some of the benefits of homeschooling. Would you carry on with that?
We talked yesterday about the possibility of teaching the subjects from a Christian point of view, and I think that would be one of the strong benefits.
And, of course, quantity, time. How did you put that?
A quantity of quality time.
Quantity of quality time.
At least that's the goal.
You can't beat that if you homeschool and your children are under your influence all day and all night.
I think one benefit is that our children don't separate their education and the rest of their life. It's all of one piece. There's no big tension or barrier between their school life and their family life. And as a parent, as a mother, I know what my children are learning, and I can build on their learning experiences throughout the day and from year to year. So there's that wonderful continuity. I think another benefit is the great pupil-teacher ratio. We, in our homeschool, have a pupil-teacher ratio of 4 to 1. And people will say, well, how can you teach 4 children at once or 5 children at once? Well, in even the best schools, you'll have at least 15 or so children, or 20 or 25 or even more per teacher. So there's a wonderful opportunity to individualize their learning instruction.
Of course, people are going to say, yes, but that teacher has all the same grades. She's teaching the same subjects to those 15 kids. You're not.
Right, but even in that, even say if you had 15 or 20 kids, their abilities would differ, and where they are in their learning would differ. Now, what we find with homeschooling is that you can accomplish a great deal in a short amount of time, because as the mom, I can tell if my child understands the concept, and then we can go on. So the lessons can be much shorter.
It's really individually tailored, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's more like a tutorial situation.
Uh-huh. My husband, Lars, went to a one-room schoolhouse where they had 8 grades. Mm-hmm. And that was in Mississippi. And, of course, it was done just routinely all over the country. There were one-room schoolhouses, and the teachers somehow or other managed to fit it all in between 9 and 3. And the kids learned to read and write and do arithmetic probably better than they do in many public schools today.
Well, I think one thing that is seen in the one-room schoolhouse that you also have in homeschool is that the children hear the concepts before they are being taught them. So a first grader might be hearing the third grader's lessons. So then when she gets to third grade, it's so much easier. And then the older children are hearing it as review, plus they have a chance to help the younger siblings. So they have some little bit of teaching experience themselves.
I think that is particularly wonderful to see the older children helping the younger one and teaching them. And as you say, it's teaching experience, which any teacher can tell you is the best way in the world to learn something. Just try to get it across to somebody else. If you can't articulate it to somebody else, then the problem is you probably either don't understand it or you don't believe it.
Right. I think another benefit of homeschooling is it, and I've really seen this in our own cases, it does promote family unity and closer sibling bonds, since we spend so much time together. And I think my children are one another's best friends. They still have other friends, but they are each other's best friends.
That's great. And they don't have to be two different people. It seems to me that one of the tensions of growing children is having to sort of be two different people, one person at home and a very different kind of a person in school. Do people ever ask you if it's difficult keeping order or being the authority how can you be the mom and the wife and the teacher all at once, Robin? Is that difficult?
It is. It's a challenge. But I think that motherhood is a challenge. And I don't have the resources in myself to be an excellent wife or an excellent mother or an excellent teacher. And after 15 years of being a mother, I'm feeling that I'm just now getting some inkling of what it means to be a good parent. So that I think that this is no greater challenge than just the challenge of trying to be a godly wife and mother to my family. But I think we need to look at this a little closer and see that every parent is a teacher. We all have to teach our children many, many things, and that every parent manages to teach his or her child their own native language, unless the child is deaf or has some profound problems. But every parent manages to teach a very complex thing like speaking their own language. We teach our children manners, like when to say please and thank you, how to do household chores, when to write thank you notes, how to make a bed, responsibility for a pet. We're teaching our children all the time.
Parents are teaching their children all the time, I agree, but so many parents would be teaching them negatively, wouldn't they? I mean, if the parents don't make their beds, their own beds, they're teaching the children what?
To be slobs. I think that's one of the real areas that it's important to work on. And I think that our children learn from our example far more than from what we teach. I am not naturally organized. And so this is an area where I've really had to grow in order to try and teach my children these habits. I think children in this mother-teacher role that we were talking about, children need to respect and obey their parents. And the parent needs to have the kids basically obedient whether they homeschool or not. So some of these foundational issues would apply whether you homeschool or whether you send your kids to a Christian school or private school. The children need to obey and respect their parents. If they don't, you can't get the child to make their bed and you can't get the child to do math. It's all of a piece. It's the same sort of obedience and respect issues.
At what age, Robin, do you think you can specifically start teaching obedience?
After a few months, maybe. Certainly.
Before the child is crawling?
Oh, I'd say certainly by 6 months.
In what way?
I think in terms of how they cry and whether you respond to, you know, bratty sort of crying or...
Well, this is fascinating. She talks about disciplining a child before the age of 6 months. Well, we'll have to pick that up tomorrow. Thank you. My guest is Robin Davis.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.